going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, so what was really going on with Shedeur Sanders falling to the fifth round? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You talk to 100 people, Perl, you might get 100 different answers and theories on what was at play here. The answer is probably a lot of everything, but I do think it actually starts with the football. It did start with the football. There was a clear misevaluation between people who are putting out mock drafts and telling Shedeur Sanders that he's a first-round pick or borderline first-round pick, and what the NFL actually thought about him football-wise. I do think that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's so many more tentacles about celebrity and fame, pre-draft process, how the Sanders family treated the pre-draft process, and the like.
Yeah, I think there is something interesting about the draft. I don't think people know how thin a line is between being the 21st pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the fifth round. Because if you're a quarterback, once you go past 21, obviously by definition, the teams after 21 have quarterbacks. So unless someone trades, no one's going to pick you. You don't get to the playoffs if you don't have a quarterback. You're not going to need to draft. So you're already out of that part of it. Then you're into the second round. I don't think teams want high-end second rounders. They never draft them. It's because there's a lot of pressure to play a second rounder. And quarterback, as I said last hour, is a binary position. You can't have a guy who you work into the mix, like a defensive end. You know, the right. Giants already have two starting defensive ends and they draft Abdul Carter. No big deal. We'll just rotate him in. Quarterback, you have to play him or not play him. It's a bizarre situation. So I do think the fall is really not that surprising because you can't just take a flyer on him in the second round because then he's sitting there on your bench with a lot of attention on him. I just think it's the nature of the position, right?
Yeah, but I think that we've seen the NFL bank on talent. Like, if you can help us win, we will weather that storm.
But
we will take that on.
But he can't help you win from the bench. He's not going to help you win next year.
Yeah, but I think if people believed, even when you get to the third round, let's say, not even all the way to fifth. Fifth is a lottery ticket. Fifth is you are not even expected. You're borderline making the team when it's the fifth round pick. I think people expect third round picks. Fourth round picks are backups. That's kind of the projection. You're hoping that the guy becomes a good backup quarterback for you.
Is that really
to go all the way to five is a rebuke.
I hear you, but is it really a big difference between third and fifth? I mean, honestly, like Dylan Gabriel in third or Shedeur Sanders in the fifth, I don't think anyone's viewing, well, Dylan Gabriel has got a huge leg up. Nobody thinks that. I mean, it's basically the same.
I disagree. I think you're right about second round. Yeah. Second rounders, I think, are expected to be competing for starting jobs right away.
Right.
But I think that third is like backup. I think fifth, sixth, and seventh.
You can be caught. Let's be real.
Exactly.
Like, a fifth round pick can be caught. A third round pick is making the team.
Right, but do you really think Dylan Gabriel has a huge leg up on Shedeur?
Yes.
I do not. I think Shedeur gets on the field maybe first.
Well, but here's a question. So we're talking about the Browns obviously selected Shedeur with pick 144. They took Dylan Gabriel 50 picks before that. Here's the weird part. And we're not going to know this, and no one's going to ever say until they all write memoirs like 20 years from now, who actually made the Shedeur pick. And I'm not trying to take Andrew Berry and the Browns brass off the hook here, but there is some speculation that maybe Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, was the one who stepped in to make the pick. So then it becomes hard to tell what a true quarterback evaluation and competition you're having.
Right.
Because is the owner putting his finger on the scale because he thinks that Shador will be a bigger clearly he's going to be a bigger star, and Dillon Gabriel right. played in a lot of high-profile games, but he will sell with jerseys, and he will become a fan favorite and all right. of that.
But also, Shador is not a normal fifth-round pick. We all know that. I mean, that's a thing. He is at least a third-round talent who fell because of extra stuff. So I don't think that's why I don't think there's any reason that Dillon Gabriel will be higher on the depth chart coming in, maybe on paper. But don't you think Shador gets as big a shot as Dillon Gabriel? I'd be really surprised if Joe Flacco flames out, Kenny Pickett gets hurt, and then Dillon Gabriel gets a full chance here because Shador is going to be breathing down his neck.
No doubt. 888-710-4ISN. And if you're asking, though, why did Shador fall, and you're asking to divvy out the sort of blame pie, if you will, I'm going to blame the Sanders family for how they handled the pre-draft process. I think there were thoughts maybe about Shador and being flashy and, you know, being – there's nothing wrong with being confident. It's not that. It's just – you know, there was so much extra, and I don't think the pre-draft process did anything to undercut that or to throw cold water on that. In fact, it did the opposite. It fanned the flames of the idea of, I'm so good for this. You know, I don't really have to compete. I don't have to put my best foot forward potentially. I don't have to work out of the combine. I don't have to work the circuit. I don't know. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I don't have to go to the Senior Bowl. I don't have to do any of that. Because I've got this thing in the bag. And I think, you know, you talked about how razor thin it is between pick 21 and a third rounder or whatever. I think it's also razor thin when you're talking about the job interview aspect of it. People want to see a certain thing. And whether you love it or hate it or you think the NFL's stupid, there's like a certain profile of quarterback that people want to see, right? There's a certain type of guy. They want people to come in and be and kill these interviews and crush and be super prepared and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's any job.
No, of course. And so if, you know, any dent in that, I think hurts a little bit more for the quarterback position, a lot more for the quarterback position than any other position on the field.
Right. I mean, in general, though, I do think. Right, because the quarterback has to go up on the whiteboard. I'm not sure a running back has to do that, right?
Do they do that with wide receivers? I don't
But I do
so.
I do think everybody, it is a job at the end of the day. You want an interview who seems like he's going to be fun to work with. You don't want a guy who comes off as disinterested. So, and the other thing, too, is there are 32 team interviews, maybe, or I don't know how many Shador had. So he might have bombed some of them and done well in others. In fact, that seems like the case, right? That Shador brought his A game because he's got, if he wants to charm you, obviously he can do that.
We've
seen Shador interviews. Like, Shador is very savvy. So I think that some teams he was good with, some teams he was bad with.
I'm curious, too, do people think this was more of a rebuke of Shador or Dion? Was this team's kind of saying, like, no thank you to Shador until the Browns came along in the fifth round? Or was it teams actually saying no thanks to Deion Sanders sort of being a figure in their lives now, for lack of a better term? 888-710-4ISN. Tell you what we think in just a moment. But JT is in Atlanta. JT, why do you think Shador Sanders fell to the fifth round?
Man, I think this is hilarious. And I mean, and not the actual what happened, but everything that's going on afterwards. And it's obvious this is the reason why. I mean, I've heard this morning it called a tragedy. I heard another person say that if he doesn't seem like his perception, that he doesn't get a fair shot, all hell's going to break loose. Like, what are we talking about? Are you serious? Like, weeks before the draft, it was clear. You guys reported it. It's been reported on multiple outlets that he didn't have a first-round grade on him. A lot of people didn't have a first-round grade on him, but nobody wanted to believe it because Deion said it was he was going to go top four, and if he didn't like where he was going to go, he was going to Eli that thing, right?
Yeah.
And so, to me, I think that there's a whole bunch of things that go on. There's the whole video out where he's trying to get a Cam to do a video, and Cam's like, I want to be football. And he's like, what? And I mean, like, there's the video of him pushing the ball boy, right? I mean, this like Bo Callahan. They did a deep dive and they found some things that weren't to their liking. And Maggie, you're right on. This is a Deion thing to me. Deion did not prepare him right. Deion gave him everything that he wanted, and he didn't have to work for it, so he didn't feel like he had to work for it, and he hasn't learned how to work for it. I was always taught growing up, you show up to the interview dressed like for the position you want, not the position you have. He showed up, supposedly, with like he dressed like the position or acting like the position he had, which is the position your dad gives you when you're a guaranteed starter because your dad's a coach and you don't have to worry about competition. If everything is going to be given to you, and that's how he kind of presented, it looks like, himself to these teams. And that's a big turnoff because you can't, that doesn't show leadership.
Right, right.
And this is a leadership position. This is not entry level.
JT, I think what you're saying
is an executive.
That maybe he came off as entitled. Right.
And they didn't
do anything really to change that. And JT, thank you for the call. A couple things I want to just address here. If people aren't fully aware about this.
Yeah.
The video he's talking about with Cam Ward. So that's a workout that happened before last season. Mm-hmm. And they're working out together. And Shador goes, come on, let's make a video together. Let's make a music. Let's make a song together. And Cam goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, why not? He goes, because I'm a football player and I don't want to be known as anything else. And Shador goes, so you don't have any hobbies? Like, it's a very light back and forth. There's not much there to me. The video of him with the ball boy, this is a real snippet here that kind of feels like it could be taken out of context. Mm. I forgot who caught a touchdown
Shador.
Pass. It's Shador.
Oh, yeah, it's not Shiloh, I'm sorry.
Shiloh had a touchdown pass,
yeah.
Right?
He ran ball back or he intercepted a pass.
Yeah, right. He wouldn't have had a pass because of safety. But here's the thing. So they have the ball, and the equipment manager comes up and knocks it out of his hands to take the ball, presumably to put it in a safe spot. And Shador didn't like that. It's 5 seconds. Like, how you can glean anything from that, I think that teams would do a little bit more digging.
Also, there was one where Shador will shake the hand of the Colorado State quarterback.
Yeah, who was talking a lot of crap.
I remember we talked about that story.
Hell of a rivalry that developed between those two teams. Tom Brady didn't shake people's hands.
But to like the point of these people who feel like he's being unfairly profiled, like, what are we talking about here? A ball boy, some interview, some workout where two guys are competing. And that's when we talk about like the double standards and stuff. It's like, all right, he yelled at a ball boy, and him and Cam Ward, who have this frenemy relationship, are talking trash at a workout. Have you ever been to a football workout? Where trash talk happens between guys on the same team. Like, that's where I think the folks who feel frustrated by this look at this and say, are we treating this unfairly? Are we looking at this making this a mountain out of a molehill?
Right, right. Now, but you do have, there were people who felt like he did come off as entitled, but you just said that, EJ, there's a generational gap part of this too, where, Gen Z a little more, take me as I am, take me or leave it. I'm not going to conform to what you think a quarterback should look like, And
listen, when you watch the NFL draft, I've watched the NFL draft for I don't know how many years. I've never seen so many young men, and I'm this is not a criticism. I thought they looked fly. So many guys go walk off there with sunglasses on. Literally, we didn't see their faces. You got the guy from Abdul Carter. You got the guy from the Bad Packers. And, this is, again, if you're old school, it's like you walk into a place indoors, you take your sunglasses off. These guys, and look, they want to look like celebrities. They want to look like stars. And I think, again, I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah, but none of those guys fell, so the teams didn't care about anything.
I'm not saying that. But my point, though, is just that, when we talk about, there's a generational gap in terms of how you present yourself in certain places, and there's a change and a shift that's happening, I feel like you watched that draft. How do you not see that?
Well,
Deion Sanders wearing the chains and saying that put me on layaway was something that was so foreign, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Now it's not. Everybody looked like Deion Sanders on draft night.
But different for quarterbacks than any other position,
definitely.
I would say, number one. And two, I think there's one thing of how when you walk across that stage with sunglasses on, that's one thing. That's the presentation. How are you behind the scenes? What actually happened in those interviews, the dinners, all of that stuff? Clearly, teams were not convinced, or else he wouldn't have fallen.
Yeah, I mean, Abdul Carter had a very clear character problem. Grew up an Eagles fan, and now is all of a sudden disowning the team for the Giants. That's garbage. I hate that guy.
That's
now.
My
said
guy.
He had a dream when he was 12 years old. He was going to play for the Giants.
But that's I don't like. He's like, I hate the Eagles now. He grew up his entire life. Went to high school 10 minutes from my house, and now he hates the Eagles. So there, everyone's got character issues.
That's my clearly. Guy. What's his thoughts on cheesesteak? Is he cheese with or without? So here's the other question.
He likes to chop cheese now.
Yes, he's changed. Pearl, you always say this, and I think you're right about it. Maybe this also goes into Shador, but listen, we don't know. you always say that every quarterback has a little bit of an origin story, like an adversity story.
Definitely.
And I was trying to find, like, this should be it for Shador.
Definitely.
Right. So what's he going to do with this? You know,
is he
actually looking at it that way? See, I just wonder, does Shador look at this and say, all right, you know, do I got to turn the mirror on myself? Why did I fall? What happened? What could I have done better? That's anyone in any walk of life. When you don't get the results you want, you want to take a deep dive. Is Shador going to do that? And this is why I said I was surprised that he did the big party in Dallas after. Mm-hmm. Not because you can't be happy, not because you can't celebrate getting drafted. Congrats to you. It's a huge accomplishment. But the massive party, I was like, huh, it's kind of celebrating as if, I don't say mission accomplished, but like, there's a lot of work to be done now. There's more questions about your career than answers at this point. So I was a little surprised they went through with the big party.
Yeah, I mean, there might have been logistical reasons. You know, rooms were reserved. Yeah.
Deposits, down payments,
Yeah, but yeah, it's a good question. This is actually Quincy Avery, who we had on last week, the quarterback guru. He says every quarterback has, it's not how good you are, it's how you deal with adversity. And you can look at, literally, any great Hall of Fame quarterback has a story, and this should be Shador's. The issue is Shador's never, the caller just said, he's never had another coach. I think that made teams a little nervous. So, because your dad's a coach, you're always going to play. How's he going to react when he doesn't play? It's all unknown. It's a little bit of risk there, a little bit.
Which is why I don't think that Deion should make a call to the Browns if he indeed is going to do that. We don't know. It's just a report. We have no idea if it's true. We want to be 100% on that. He shouldn't be involved anymore.
Yeah, but sports parents, you know.
They always
tend to get involved, and teams do not like sports parents.
No, they do not. Ramon is in Indianapolis. Ramon, what do you make of Shador falling to the fifth round, sir?
How you doing? My favorite people on sports is riveting conversation. I'll be brief. I'm going to play some golf this morning. Finally, after breaking my back, killing it. But, EJ, I don't know how young you are. I'm close to 60, and I did have a couple journalism classes in college. I was a college professor. We wore everything we wanted to wear back in the school, too. I get tired of everybody talking about this generation, that generation. My grandmother say nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. And my grandmother was a teacher and an educator. So it's nothing new under the sun. It was enough just to get to class at 8 o'clock and throw on what you can throw on and get there. And the professors really didn't look at us like that because they were throwing out them hard tests too much. So I want to throw that out there. Okay, let's don't do this. Okay, I coach and mentor young people. I mentor them. I mean, I'm there with them on the ground. And so it's not always that way. I don't want to do that to them. Secondly, listening to this is the reason why we had the Kerner Commission back then, EJ, and you all should be journalists and you should have studied the Kerner Commission. And the reason why I just don't like this, because the media is the most powerful entity on the planet, as Malcolm X said. It has the power to control minds, and that's all we're doing here. The bottom line is that somebody didn't like the kid because he won the Johnny Unitas, or won those awards in the college for being the best quarterback.
Yeah, the Golden Arm Award. Yep.
That's right, the Golden Arm Award. He took a team that was nothing to 9-3, and this gentleman called in talking about he's never had to work. Are you really crazy? I played college baseball. To go from nothing to 9-3 as an athlete, left Jackson State, come to Colorado, he's definitely had to work. See, that's where the racism comes. Come on, EJ. You say you didn't mind talking about it, bring it up then. I'm not saying that's the case totally, but there's always an element. I'm an African-American male. I'm on 60 health. I was only two in my forensic science class back in the 80s. I was only two. So I've been through this. Okay, so I know what it's about. I know when you're getting looked at funny. I know when other folks run a bad lab test and they do things that they're not supposed to do, and yet it gets looked over. And yet if I would have did it, I wouldn't have got that same look. So I already know how that looks. Trust me. People just didn't like him and his dad. That's just the bottom line. And so Cleveland says, okay, they don't have anything in there. We'll bring him in because, trust me, it's nothing there. And I'm not trusting Brian Daboll, like the gentleman said earlier, because Brian Daboll and him have done nothing there. Actually, the coach should have drafted him because we don't have anything here. Okay, yeah. So let's just be honest about it. Now, it's a lot of things in play, but I wish we had the fairness of media that we can tell our stories like the Kerner Commission said.
Wait, but hold on, Ramon. Here's the thing, though, about just blaming the media on this. The media was not just maybe at fault for, you know, you don't like the conversation that's happening afterwards, or you don't think that we're focusing on race enough, and that's fine. But the media has also helped, thought they were helping Shador, right? Because there were things that were coming out where people didn't have first-round grades on him, and they were still saying, but he's a first-round talent, he's a first-round talent, right? I think they were, the media also is complicit in inflating Shador because of the deference to Deion.
Yeah, but what about John Elway, Eli Manning, and then Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield got arrested his senior year. Baker Mayfield got videos all out there. I just saw them over the weekend at work. I looked at the Eli video with his dad standing there saying, if you draft me, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
Right there. But we got this double and triple standard. We've seen it now. You got to walk in our shoes to understand it. It's not always each person. It's individualized. You've got to understand that.
Ramon, not taking away from your point of view at all, your experiences. And you're right. I do think this is an element of it. And thank you so much for the call. I do think it is an element of it. I also think there's a celebrity element that's a huge element of it, too. And I think that Eli and Archie did get criticized for that. And I think, you know, I don't remember John Elway. Jim Kelly didn't want to go to Buffalo and decided to go to Houston to play in the AFL.
I mean, the thing is, though, Eli didn't fall like Shador did.
Right. It's the idea that Shador faced some repercussions of his actions,
right,
so to speak. And look, here's what I'll say, too. I think, because for Ramon, anyone out there, we got to look at this in a large scope. Because people will say, well, look, Cam Ward is a black quarterback who went number one in the draft. So why is Cam Ward being drafted number one? There's no issue. But then Shador, there's a race issue. And I feel like there's there's a way to maybe explain this. I feel like, and I've said this a bunch of times, I said this on my show when I hosted over the weekend, that when you're a black person going to any non-exclusive black place, there's an idea that perhaps your authenticity has to be sacrificed in order to conform to whatever that place of work is. So when we see Shador Sanders, when we see Cam Ward, or you see other black quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, all the guys that have been drafted high in the first round, they walk, talk, and act much more similarly to what you would expect from other quarterbacks. The Sanders family, for whatever you feel about it, they have decided they're going to be their authentic selves. They're going to be who they are, and they're not here to conform to anybody. And there's a conversation that I think Ramon's trying to get to, which is, why was it not okay for them to be their authentic selves and do what they did and make moves that other people made, like a Johnny Manziel, like a Baker Mayfield, in terms of being flashy, being brash, and being braggadocious. And it was not okay for those guys, but not for Shador Sanders. I think that that's absolutely a fair question.
Right.
And I totally agree with Ramon. I think that there'll be things I disagree. I agree with that. But I do think that when we talk about it's not. I've talked to black professionals about this. My fiance is a black professional.
Yeah.
Okay. She works in a professional place. And she talks about the conversations she has to have with young POCs, young people of all generations, all colors, all creeds, about simply what it is to be in the workplace and feeling like you can't come in and think you're going to just be able to just walk in and just take over and just act how you ever want to act. Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. But understand that if you're trying to be accepted or welcomed, that the world may not be ready to catch up to where you are right now. Mm. And that's just a reality of the situation. We could play in this in mind games and play in this fantasy land that everyone should be able to just do whatever they want, say whatever they want, and we accept everybody. Ramon and everyone who listens to the show knows that that's just not real life. It's not.
Listen, I think everything you said, it's all part of this story. It's race is a part of the story. Generation gap is part of the story. Gender is really the only thing that's not part of the story.
No.
Generation gap is part of the story. Fame is part of the story. Football is part of the story. It's got every single part of it. It's how do you view it?
EJ, let me ask you a question. If you were a GM or a team, would you have drafted Shador? Would you want somebody actually, whatever color they were, who might conform?
Mm-hmm.
Because are you concerned about team building aspects with a guy who's not going to conform?
It's a tricky thing, right? Because I'm also a sports fan, a sports guy who watched Shador.
Right.
I thought he was a first or second round pick.
Right.
I did not think he was as good as Cam Ward. Maybe I'm biased. I'm a Miami fan, but I thought he was probably the second or third quarterback in this draft. So to me, I think the talent always outweighs the other things when you're not talking about criminal, right?
Right.
If you're talking about crime, assault, things like that, that's a one thing. If you're saying, okay, he's a little cocky, he's a little brash, he's a little whatever. I think to me, if I'm looking for the best talent, I'm going to take that kid. I'm not going to care about him wanting to have a podcast and all those things. I think I tell him, come in with a strong locker room. If my locker room, my coaching staff is strong enough, I can get him to be the professional he needs to be in order to be the player he needs to be as an NFL player. I think Maggie said it a bunch for weeks. Yeah. I think it shows a sign of weakness that you're an organization that is afraid of a kid because he has a podcast or because he's flashing money signs or he wants to do music on the side. I think there's a real question. We're going to talk about race. if he was a country singer and not a rapper, would that be different?
Mm. Well, let me ask you this, though. But don't you want guys, you know, you're a coach. You want the most coachable guy. I mean, like, and for better or worse, that's what NFL teams think. Because the best teams are not the most talented teams. They're the teams that play as a team. So the guy, you know, the Patriots were not the most talented team. They just, everybody was all on the same page.
But Colorado wasn't the most talented team. And they just went, and they won 9 games. Like, and I definitely agree with
that
point,
too. They did it on talent, right. But in the NFL, I think there are people who think, like, wow, the most well-coached, the most, the team that plays as a team. I always think of it basketball. Like, the Warriors are not the most talented team. They just have 300 passes, so everybody maximizes their talent. Like, you gotta play as a team. So people are maybe worried, EJ, that he's too much of an individual. For better or worse, you know the NFL says that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
We will continue the conversation. Want to hear from you at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Why did Shador fall to the fifth round? What are you looking at as the biggest reason? And two, we will turn our attention to the Browns quarterback room now. What is that going to look like? Who? What? How? Can we get Hard Knocks back there again? I think they just did it. 888-710-4ISN. Maggie and Perloff.
Woof, woof.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. The second night of the draft had a 40% increase in TV ratings because of Shador Sanders. I feel like this is, oh, it's, you can't describe what an impact this draft fall, let's call it a fall, has had. I'm honestly still trying to wrap my head around it 3 days later. I think we're going to be talking about Shador, not just for this week, but for years. This fall is going to be 30 for 30s. It's going to be a big deal.
And I'm here for all of it because I think everyone's explanation kind of has merit. You know, it's not just one thing. If it was one thing, this would be an open and shut case. It'd be easy. This is what's so unique about it. There's a celebrity aspect to it. There's a perception aspect. There's a racial aspect. There's an everything aspect to it. There's a football aspect to it. You know, how good is he actually? And I don't know if we're going to find out with him on the Browns.
Well, I mean, I think actually it's the best chance to find out because there's probably not a weaker starting group ahead of him in the NFL. It's probably his best chance to play. I would think.
But then how many Browns quarterbacks have just been in the graveyard? Like, you know, guys who came in with talent, guys who came in with promise, and the Browns just have, I have no faith that they can develop quarterbacks. It's like they just,
I mean,
got 25 years of evidence.
What were his other options? The Giants and the Raiders? I mean, it's not like those teams are producing Hall of Famers left and right. I mean, where else was he going? Pittsburgh? Give me a break.
We just drafted one in Abdul, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, defense, you guys.
Good luck
know
with
well.
That.
Yeah.
Well, Eli's going to go to the Hall of Fame eventually. Just didn't get into the first ballot.
That's nice.
Let's go to Wilson, who's in California. Wilson, why do you think Shador fell?
Well, good morning. Always good to talk to you guys. You're cool. Let me just make 2 points before I make my main point here. First,
well, let's make the main point first because we don't have a ton of time. Bogish is going to cut you off.
I'll roll as soon as I... Well, you're going to cut me off anyway.
No, we're nice about it.
No, you don't. Yeah, that's what you do, but I love you anyway. This guy was good enough to get drafted early first, okay? Is the media going to change like the previous caller? No, it's only going to get worse, okay? Mm. With that said, I'm going to be very pragmatic and something that hasn't been touched on here. You've got high-level executives and head coaches and people with teams that are not achieving that lose their jobs like we change our clothes every day, okay? The point being, these guys have got to make the right pick on quarterbacks. That's what they're going for, these teams,
right?
Okay? New Orleans, okay? If they miss, it could cost them and the guy above them their job, okay? They got to get it right, all right? And with this whole media circus and everything that's going on, I don't think they want that baggage in the locker room, and they don't want it in their camp. Okay, they want a guy that's going to show up and he's going to work hard for that job. Okay, now as he fell down that list, I kept shaking my head thinking he's going to end up in the land where quarterbacks come and die. Okay, Cleveland, right?
Yeah,
but the perfect pick was Cleveland because they got a locker room with four other guys that he's got to compete with. Totally made sense.
So maybe it's the best place for him, actually, in an ironic way. Like Perloff is saying, it's a chance to compete.
Yeah.
It's maybe a winnable competition for him.
Yeah, if, you know. And he's got an OC
absolutely
that's perfect for him.
One other point before you cut me out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. I have memories going way back. I'm retired in the Bay Area, but I'm from Southern Cal. I've given my Dodger blah blah. Anyway, the point being, I have memories of Dion dumping a bucket of water on Tim McCarver's head in front of national media after the Braves, in front of a national audience after the Braves won the championship. I have memories of Bonds sitting in his lazy boy in locker room, cynically picking the media that he's going to talk to and pissing off his fellow teammates, okay? And I realize, you know, how much of an effect this has on teams and players. And from a pragmatic sense, I'm looking at the executives and the head coaches are going, we got to get this right. We don't need this media circus coming into our town and having to deal with. We just want a guy that's going to show up, work hard for that job.
Well, I mean, Wilson, thank you for the call. That's where some of this is, you know, some of it is not his fault, Shador. You know, I'm blaming the Sanders family for how they handled the pre-draft process, Perloff, and kind of felt like they had it in the bag when they didn't. But some of this, the dude can't help that Dion's his dad. He can't help that Dion has, we have all these memories of Dion, whether you loved him, didn't love him, whatever. The son can't help that. All the son can do is control how he comes across, what he does. I don't think anyone has said that he's not a hard worker. No one has said that he's not tough. No one said he's not accurate. You know, all the things that he gets credit for, it's just, I think that, and I felt like in the pre-draft process, it was behaving as if he had Dion's talent, but he didn't. And he also is playing a totally different position that is demanding of a totally different, you know, like public perception or whatever.
You know, maybe should have, actually, as you look back, maybe should have played for a different coach. I think that would have maybe changed this whole thing. Maybe should have left the Dion bubble.
Was that an option?
Yeah, I mean, he's not, there's no... Yeah, why not? Why couldn't he have gone to play to Alabama?
Because they did this all together, you know?
I know, but I think that ended up being a mistake. Maybe he should have played 1 year for... I know that they were close with Saban. They were in those commercials together. Maybe he should have left. I honestly was thinking about, like, man, he probably would have been a first-round pick if he had transferred and played in the SEC. I also think the Colorado-ness of it all is not helping him.
I know, but I mean, we watch the guys in basketball. It's a little more common where guys will play for their dad. I don't know if people
like, yeah, but what high draft picks?
Well, the guy from Drake, right? Wasn't he playing for his dad?
Dougie
McBuckets played for his dad. I mean, Dylan Raiola is playing with his uncle at Nebraska. I get what you're saying because it's Dion. I think they all felt like it was a bigger cause, right? We're going to go to Jackson State. We're going to turn it around. Then we're going to go to Colorado and turn it around. It kind of felt like we're all in this together, sort of.
Well, no, I mean, it's of course, it sounded great at the time. But I do think, obviously, if you're an NFL coach, you're like, wait, that guy's never played in middle school. He played at Dion Academy. Not only did he play for his dad, he played at a school named after his dad. Prime Academy,
Prime Academy.
Yeah, I mean, he probably, looking back at it now, should have left that bubble. And you know,
easy to say. Maybe I mean,
I know
you've said it before.
Now.
To be fair,
I've never said that before. I never thought it really. I love the color.
You said, is it a problem that he's only played for?
Yeah,
his dad?
It's definitely like something that's contributing. It adds an element of unknown to what the situation is going to be like. And also, a caller pointed out, like, he's never had to worry about starting time, and now he gets to get into the cauldron of an NFL quarterback competition. It'll probably be great for him. I think it'll bring out the best in Shador.
Andrew Bogish is here. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about this? We're going to get to you. We promise. Bogues has got us updated on everything else that went on this weekend.
Guys,
what did Jalen Brunson score yesterday?
Speaking of Jalen Brunson, there he was again yesterday, exaggerating another ankle injury for motivation.
don't get him started.
Oh, Bogues, don't do that.
We don't have time for this today. It's Shador's day.
Hardaway will inbound from the near sideline just in front of the New York bench. He's handed the ball. Finds Cunningham up top. Net by Ananobi. Crossover at the foul line. Pull up two. Back rimmed it. Who's got the rebound? Tipped by Harris. Hart fighting for it. Winds up on the deck. Comes to Hardaway near corner. Shoots at the horn. Missed it. He missed it. Rebound McBride. Pistons want a foul. They're not getting it.
Except they apparently should have. First, here's head coach J.B. Bickerstaff.
There's contact on Tim Hardaway's jump shot. I don't know any other way around it.
there's contact on his jump shot. The guy leaves his feet. He's at Timmy's mercy. And I repeat, there's contact on his jump shot.
When Mr. J.B. Bickerstaff said that, he didn't know that crew chief David Guthrie was about to tell a pool reporter postgame that Josh Hart did make way too much contact with Tim Hardaway Jr. on his corner three. Hardaway should have had free throws to tie or win the game. Instead, the Knicks ran home with a 94-93 win and a 3-1 series lead.
I'm curious, do you know, Bogish, if anybody asked J.B. Pickerstaff in the postgame press conference what they thought about the loose ball foul Tobias Harris had right before that shot?
Manny, you won the game, all right? Settle down.
I'm asking a quick question. I mean, he wants to complain about, Pistons fans have been complaining about foul baiting, and they want to get rewarded with that? Miss me with that.
All right.
You're talking about a team, you can barely beat a team with Tobias Harris. I could get a team out in the newsroom that could take that guy down.
We beat your team with Tobias Harris last year.
I know. That's what I say. Anybody could beat a team with Tobias Harris. He's terrible. And the Knicks are going to the wire with this awful Pistons team.
And the Knicks are about to echo that again this season.
My biggest thing, we should move off of this because it's about the NFL draft and other things that happened today. But Jalen Brunson, like, it's a problem. If he keeps having to leave the game, I just don't know how you get to the Eastern Conference Finals if he has to be in and out of the lineup because of the ankle. Anyway,
they
back
will
to
not.
Austin Reeves wasn't fouled. He just missed the tying three at the buzzer in Minnesota. He and the Lakers led entering the fourth, but they lose 116-113. Falling into a 3-1 hold to the T-Wolves. Anthony Edwards scored 43 for Minnesota. The Celtics put down the Magic 107-98 in Orlando for a 3-1 lead. And the Bucks are down 3-1 after a 129-103 home loss to the Pacers. Most importantly, Damian Lillard suffered an apparent torn Achilles in the first quarter of that one.
Such a bummer.
The Edmonton Oilers tied the game with 29 seconds left in the third, which allowed them to do this in overtime.
McDavid to Drysdale, right corner. Drysdale to Nugent Hopkins. Side of the net, McDavid in front of the goal. Loose puck. Scores! Leon Drysdale!
Getting Edmonton a 4-3 win over LA, leveling that series at two games apiece. The yelling from Jack Michaels on Oilers radio. Sunday night baseball, rubber game for the Phillies and Cubs at Wrigley. The Phillies a 3-1 win in 10. Alec Bohm, the tie-breaking sack fly. Far from all of that, the Guardians apologizing for a fan who said inappropriate things to Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran yesterday afternoon. The assumption is the fan was referencing Duran's mental health struggles, which he recently discussed on a Netflix documentary. Duran had to be kept away from the fan who ran out of his seat but was found up on the concourse. Punishment for him is pending.
Guys, get him out of here.
Back to you.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, you gotta. We get into fan behavior and what people are allowed to say, and it certainly felt like it was crossing a really personal line. 888-710-4ISN. Bogish, thank you so much. Just a little note, coming up later in the show, Jason Lloyd's gonna join us, who covers the Cleveland Browns for the Athletics. So we're gonna get deeper into how we think this is all going to work here with Shador in this quarterback room. And then final hour of the show, Amy Trask, who's former CEO of the Raiders, will join us to answer the questions of how often do parents call and get involved? Or why does she think that Shador fell to the fifth round? So much to do. 888-710-4ISN. Why do you think Shador Sanders went pick 144? Your best guess is next. Manny, the Beyonce of the show. In his dreams. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Shador Sanders is the topic today because his fall to the fifth round, Pearl, has a lot of different explanations, and everyone sees it sort of a different way. I see it as a criticism of how the Sanders family handled the draft process, you know, and kind of, they just deigned to do. You know, they just didn't treat it like he was competing with the likes of Tyler Shuck and the likes of Jalen Milroe and the likes of Dylan Gabriel. And I think either they got bad information or didn't want to see the reality, which was that Shador was a little closer to the pack than they thought.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's bigger picture, though. I think it's not just this draft process. I think every coach and every GM knows that Deion is going to be there with Shador because he's always been there. There's no player in the history of the NFL. Actually, there's no player and father who've been this connected. There's plenty of fathers.
Yep.
But he's coached him at every step of the way. And he's basically, in so many words, said, hey, I'm going to be there when you draft this guy. I think he will, because he's Deion. He's a superstar player. He's a great coach. I mean, yeah. How many sons have great college? Great in the sense that the team improved dramatically. So I think you got to give him credit for that. There's a lot going on here.
And he's entitled to be the sports dad he wants to be. But you also have to wonder, am I helping my son? Am I hurting my son? It's tough as parents because you want to do the right thing by your kid. But then, you know, the NFL just spoke. The NFL has spoken. We don't know if they're right. And they could be dead wrong, and Shador could be the next Tom Brady. We have no idea, but it clearly hurt him leading up to the draft. Chris is in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, you're just bummed that Shador's not going to your team.
No, it's more than just that, Maggie. First, let's address the elephant in the room, being that defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. He should probably be either suspended for half a season or fired because you still leaked seriously private info.
Yeah, we'll get to Jeff Ulbrich, whose son Jax found Shador's number on an iPad and prank called Shador. And the pranks apparently were running rampant, but obviously Shador is going to be the biggest one. It felt mean and cruel and stupid and all of that. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the coach in a minute. Yeah.
But let me address my New Orleans Saints guys. Okay. I mean, you've heard me last week pretty much saying there must be somebody in the front office that, because the draft side must be on the spectrum. But out of all the teams that needed a quarterback, being the Steelers, and whoever, we're the outlier because we picked up. Who did we pick up in the second round?
Tyler Shuck.
I'll let you.
Tyler Shuck.
Exactly. He's a 7-year journeyman.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Numerous season in the injuries, regardless of age, who compared to all the other quarterback prospects that were on the board, they have, in comparison to him versus them, this is one undeniable fact. Race is not even had anything to do with it. Let's call a spade a spade. Each of the quarterback that isn't Tyler Shuck has at least sniffed near New York in order to get some hardware. Being the Johnny Leonidas Award or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
I could care less. I told you, I could care less it be Shador or even Jalen Milroe. The point being is, as long as it's somebody who can move this offense and win games, that is the undeniable fact in all of this. Shador said in the scenario.
I'm trying to get to the, and thank you for the phone call. You don't like Shuck. He's going to be 26 years old in September.
Yeah.
He's got this big injury history. And to be honest, the Saints are the team that, of all the quarterbacks who were drafted outside of Cam Ward, who's going to be the starter day one for Tennessee, he's kind of got the best inside track to start because Derek Carr's got this mysterious shoulder injury.
I mean, they
got to
get Shuck on the field before he retires. So, but the Saints.
Or he's eligible for AARP.
I think more so than almost any team in the league, the Saints are really eyeing the next two drafts of quarterback. Like, Shuck, they can move on past him like it's nothing. I think they're thinking about Arch, whether it comes out this year or next year. They said, you know what, we can't take Shador in the first round because that boxes up out of next year. Because they're going to be bad. They're so old and so decrepit around the entire roster that they're definitely going to be in play next year.
Let's go to Joe, who's in San Francisco. Joe, we asked, was this Shador falling more about Shador or more about Deion Sanders? And the NFL kind of making a comment about Deion, his involvement. What do you think?
Man, it's about Deion. When Deion went to Jackson State, they said he couldn't coach and all that stuff. Then he ended up being a good coach.
Yep.
And then on top of that, when he was there, he was called the NFL out because there was no scouts watching the HBCU teams. And he was called them out, like, what the scouts at? What the NFL at? So he was called them out, so he finally got them out there. So, you know, he was – you know, they just pissed off at him because the numbers don't lie. You know, he had, you know, first, second round numbers. He ain't played a game since November, December. So what did he do on the field to cause his numbers to drop? Nothing.
Yeah. Joe, hold on, though. The one thing about that, just to play devil's advocate, if you're saying that Deion was like a disruptor and that he was calling out the NFL on their BS and people were holding it against Shador, they certainly didn't hold against Travis Hunter, who's also Travis,
the best player in the country.
Right, right. So there is a little bit about the talent, though. Like, there, because again, like Travis is also very much in Deion's orbit. Like, clearly, right?
Yeah, he in the orbit, but he's the best player in the country. Right. So there's no way you can dog him because he's the best player in the country. But the numbers on Shador don't lie. And Deion called him out when he was at Jackson State. Then they said he couldn't coach. And they said he was a weak coach because he's coaching in Jackson State. And he went to Colorado and won.
Yep.
But now he got all the NFL scouts coming to him. But at the same time, you know, like, they've been pissed off ever since because, you know, the numbers don't lie. I mean, right. And I'm not going to say he was a first-round pick or second-round pick, but he definitely wasn't no fifth-round pick.
Well, we all know that, Joe, and thank you for the phone call. That's why we're trying to get to the bottom of it. Joe thinks it's more about Deion called the NFL to the mat about not scouting HBCUs correctly, Pearl. I mean, I think there's something to that, but then you also have to think that is the whole league really colluding against Deion? Like,
well, first of all, there are not that many teams that can draft a quarterback. I think, again, it just gets to me, it's really hard to take a second-round quarterback, especially, I think, tell me if you agree with this, that all the hype after day one scared some teams away.
But I don't think anyone was surprised by that. It's been hype around the Colorado program going back to the first game they played against TCU 2 years ago.
So you don't think there was a team that like said, oh, well, we'll take them in the third round for sure. But then they saw all the attention and said, oh, maybe I don't want this in my building.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying real time reacted. I'm not sure.
No one can be surprised by
it. You're right. We should have seen that coming, but I was a little surprised.
Also, then why did he get drafted at all if people are so turned off?
Well, I was wondering, actually, weren't you thinking, oh, man, is he going to file this whole darn thing?
I did think that. And I was like, that cannot be.
Well, yeah, then he gets to choose the team. I mean, I think the hype was definitely hurting him in real time.
Here's the bottom line. Will Shador fit in Cleveland?